In years past, one of the things that I tried to do is that I would use the theme verse from camp for a message here at Emmanuel, because I think it's important that we kind of know what was going on down there and that kind of stuff. But I didn't go to camp this year to stay, but we sent 20 people from our church, 15 kids and 5 adult or youth leaders. And I just was kind of led to use this verse because it's a great pair of verses that we'll be looking at. Romans 12 has been the theme for camp possibly more than any other, and there's nothing wrong with that. One of the things that occurred to me when we're doing camp and we're doing VBS is why we keep trying to reinvent the wheel, you know. For example, I've been here at Emmanuel now for 16 VBSs over the years, and every year it's a different theme, and every year it's different decorations and different lessons and so on and so forth. Well, back when I was director of missions, and Brad can testify to this, we would save all the materials from each VBS out in the bus barn. And eventually, they would be ravaged by the passage of time and all those things, and we'd end up throwing them away. And I just remember thinking back then that if the powers that be would just set up a 6-year rotation, you know, normally kids aren't in VBS more than 6 years. And so they wouldn't have to go through the same thing twice, and we could reuse everything and save a bunch of money. But my guess is that's probably why we don't do that, because they make money off of the VBS themes and so on. So anyway, I just remember that my very first year back here in 2012, the theme at camp that year was chapter 12 of Romans. And I still have the shirt. You still see it every once in a while. But I also remember that in our camp set up, we never got past the second verse. We had the whole chapter as our theme, but everything that was preached was on verses 1 and 2. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a lot more to chapter 12 than just those first 2 verses, and maybe you'll be hearing more about that eventually. But for today, we're going to focus on just the first 2 verses of Romans chapter 12. I'm going to ask if you would and are able to please stand as we read from God's word. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Change is a word that frightens a lot of people. Most people don't like changes. But coming into a new situation, something I've done often in my lifetime, and I never really got used to it. Now, I remember in one of my principal positions, the secretary and I were both new. We both came in to work the same day, first time, and we didn't know anything about that school district or how it ran. Nobody had left us any instructions. So between the two of us, we unknowingly changed a lot of things that had been in place for a long time at that particular school. Then when the teachers came in and discovered all that we'd done, they very patiently explained to us why we've always done things this way. And that's one of my least favorite phrases, but we found out that there were reasons for what they did and how they did them. And anyway, my secretary and I both discovered that some things just don't need to change. But I do, or I did, and you do, or you did, need to change. We needed a change in our lives. The person that we were before coming to Christ was in desperate need of a change. In this letter to the Roman Christians, Paul often pointed out the change that had taken place. And for example, in Romans 6, verse 6 that I read to you earlier, he said, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times that I still feel like I'm a slave to sin. My old nature creeps out from time to time and sometimes just kind of takes control. But here's the difference. I was a slave to sin before Jesus Christ came into my life. I couldn't escape sin. And even if I could stop sinning or stop doing some of the things that I did, I was still enslaved to sin because the punishment for sin is eternal death. So now, because of Jesus Christ in my life, I'm no longer a slave, even though sometimes it grabs me again. But Christ has paid the price for our sin, for the sin that I had been enslaved to before I accepted him. In the first verse, Paul says, I beseech you, therefore. Anybody use the word beseech lately in your normal conversation? Probably not. It's not a word that we use much anymore, but it means to implore urgently, to beg, to make an earnest appeal. And it goes beyond just simply asking politely, you know. So, and then he uses that word that we come across so often in Scripture. He uses the word therefore, which means that it refers back to all the things that precede this. Because of all the things that have been written in the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul is literally begging us to do this, to do what he's going to be asking of us here in just a moment. And next he tells us how we can accomplish it. He said, by the mercies of God, what we are being asked to do, no matter what it is, can only be accomplished through the mercies of God. We cannot do it on our own strength. And I know we've all got struggles. We've all got difficulties that we go through. And sometimes we just wonder, how can we get through this? I want to tell you one little Alaska story. We took a train ride up a mountain. And it went from sea level to, I think, 3,000 feet, something like that. Which isn't, you know, that's not a tall mountain necessarily. But when you're riding in a train and looking off the edge of the cliff here that you're hanging on, and the train starts going around a curve, and the train goes like that on that curve, that's difficult for me. I don't like heights at all. And so I just thought about that, you know, that first of all, how many people have done that, made that trip, and survived? And so that helped me a little bit. But also just to think through the mercies of God, you can do these things that you're called upon to do. Was I called upon to go on a train trip? Not necessarily. But I was there, and God got me through that, truly. Most of us probably have a testimony of how we were able, through the mercies of God, to accomplish what might have looked to be impossible. I've heard it said many times during our testimony times on Sunday evenings, someone would talk about what they've gone through, and they'd say, but God was with me. God gave me strength. By the mercies of God, we are able to do the things that we're being asked to do. So what is it that Paul is about to ask that's going to be so very difficult? And it's in the next part of that verse, it says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, we know in the Old Testament, a sacrifice that was once living was killed and given over completely to God. But through the mercies of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, he took on the dying part. There doesn't have to be any more dying because he's done it for us. But that doesn't let us off the hook completely. Our bodies, our lives, must be presented to God as a living sacrifice. Our lives should be given over to his direction, to his choices, not our own. So that's why Paul beseeches us through the mercies of the Lord to accept his strength in doing these things, because that's going to be difficult for us to do. The scripture that I read to you earlier says that the old man, our former selves, was crucified with Christ. And I wish I could say that truly the old man is dead and gone, never raises his ugly head anymore, but he does. And the key to all this is that whenever sin comes back into our lives, it cannot be our lifestyle, it can't be the norm for our lives. It's going to happen, but it can't be the thing that we would be known for. I've over the years in school, I've seen young people who give their lives over to the military, for example, or to marriage. And occasionally I've seen a young person give their lives over to the service to the Lord. And it's amazing to me how parents often reacted to that. They they get a little upset about their baby going off to the military, especially if it's in time of war. Sometimes they're reluctant to turn their baby over to a marriage because that's my baby and I don't want them to leave. But what amazes me is that I've seen parents who don't want to turn their children over to service to the Lord. Not very many, but some. And the reason for it is, well, you're not going to make any money doing that. Or, you know, you'll be so far away if you become a missionary, that kind of stuff. And we like to cling to our children. Well, our bodies, Christian, our lives, and even the lives of our children and grandchildren are to be a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to God. And this means that we must trust Him to take care of us in our decision, even if family members don't like it. We're being called, we are beseeched to present our bodies in the same way that Jesus presented His body, holy, acceptable to God. And simply put, this means that we are to be totally sold out to God. We are to offer our bodies now for whatever service God might see fit to use them for. And that's tough for us to do, isn't it? It's tough to say, well, I'm here, Lord, use me, send me wherever you choose to send me. But we've got to trust that the mercies of God will provide us with what we need in order to accomplish His perfect will. Now, I'll just tell you again, on some of the mission trips that I've gone on, and not just the ones that are overseas, but even the ones that we went on as when I was director of missions, and we would go and build something somewhere. I'm not a builder. And people always say, well, there was always something for you to do, and it just seemed like it was kind of difficult sometimes to find anything I was qualified to do. But the thing of it is, you go and you give your life, you give your body, if you will, as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to the Lord. And He will use you in whatever way He wants to use you if you allow Him to. The last part of this first verse says, which is your reasonable service. And I want to think about that for just a little bit. It's reasonable. It's not unreasonable. It's not something that's out of the scope of what God will equip us to do. He's just asking us to do the reasonable thing. I used to tell my students on the first day of school, because we always had this little sheet that I went over and talked to them about expectations and so on, and I always promised them that, well, I asked them, first of all, to do what I asked them to do. And then I would promise them, I will never ask you to do anything unreasonable. Now, some of the kids thought that what I asked was unreasonable, but for the most part, well, I don't think it was at all. Just do your work and behave yourself. Don't talk while I'm talking, that kind of stuff. God is not asking us to do anything unreasonable, anything outside of what He's equipped us to do. He provides the mercy that's required to do the tasks that He assigns to us. So whenever somebody asks you, for example, to do something in the church, to serve in some way, and you think, well, I can't do that, I think we're denying the fact that God equips us to do the things that He calls us to do. And I've said this many times before, but, you know, if you're not sure if it's what you're supposed to do, try it. Do it. And if God doesn't want you doing it, I think He'll make it very clear to you this isn't where you're called to be. But on the other hand, if you do it and God equips you and allows you to do, to be used of Him, then that's where you're supposed to be. That's your reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, what's the difference between these two words, don't be conformed, but be transformed? And conformed means to fashion or to shape one thing so that it resembles another. It's kind of I thought about Play-Doh. Used to play with Play-Doh a lot, and they'd show you all these different things that you could make, and mine always looked like lumps of Play-Doh, no matter what I did to them. But they've got these new things now that, you know, these little forms that you can take your Play-Doh and make it look like a cheeseburger or a chocolate chip cookie or whatever else. But the thing about it is, it's still Play-Doh. no matter how much it looks like a chocolate chip cookie, it's only been conformed. It's only been changed into a different looking thing, something that pretends to be something else. It's easy to be conformed to this world. You know, we fall into the latest fads or fashions, and there's all kinds of weird things that every generation has done. And I always want to be sure to remind young people that the things that your parents did that you laugh about, or the things that they wore that you laughed about, someday your kids are going to be laughing at you in the way that you looked when you were 16. I guarantee it. But the thing of it is, we try to conform. And one of the things that I've read about that I just absolutely don't understand is something called Kiki or something like that, where you jump out of your car and dance while it's driving down the road. And I've seen all kinds of different films of that, where people get hit by other cars or their car goes off and runs into a tree or something. Don't let the world shape you with what the world says is the thing to do. Don't be conformed to this world. Instead, be transformed. And what transformed means is to be changed, genuinely changed, completely into something else. A caterpillar, for example, transforms into a butterfly. It's not the same thing, and that's one of the most amazing things in all of creation, I think, is how this fuzzy thing can turn into a beautiful butterfly. But we're to be transformed. We're to be changed into another being. Instead of allowing the world to shape us into what the world thinks we need to be, we need to allow God to change us into what he wants us to be. It's kind of like this. If you go out to start your car tomorrow morning and it coughs and sputters and wheezes and starts smoking, and you think, well, I got to do something. So you make an appointment with the body shop to have it repainted. It's going to look different, but it's not going to solve the problem. The problem is something altogether different. We need to be careful that we don't just try to change the appearance. We need to change what's inside. We're told to renew our minds. We do that by reading the scriptures. We do that by meditating on the scriptures. We do that by applying the scriptures to our daily walk. That's how we can renew our minds. And there's so much in these two little verses, but the last thing I want to look at this morning is the final phrase, which says, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Jesus told us that when we pray, we are to pray, not my will, but yours be done. God wants us to surrender our will and to replace it with his will. We are to adopt his will as our will. The problem is, we often feel like it's tough to know for certain what his will is. What is God's will? God doesn't try to hide it from us. It's his desire, his plan, that we would know his good and perfect will. And these two verses today show us how to find his perfect will. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And what I see that meaning is, we need to be prepared to give up everything, absolutely everything, and then stand back and be amazed at what he gives back to you. Exceedingly and abundantly he will bless if we will give him, or be willing to give him, everything. It says to do your reasonable service. And I want you to know this. Whatever you're doing right now for the Lord, it's not enough. And that sounds a little harsh, but I just want you to think of it. Would you be satisfied if God did for you only as much as you're doing for him? We expect him to answer our prayers. We expect him to be there when we need him. But then we won't return the favor to him. We need to do more always. And I wrote something for the annual meeting that I'll be talking about for a devotion. We can never be satisfied with where we are, what we're doing. We've got to be willing to do more, to give more, to serve more. Don't be conformed to this world. Now, most of you know that I'm something of a news addict. And it was kind of interesting on the ship, because They did have a couple of stations that you could pull in and that kind of stuff, and I like to watch the news. But I blame this all on my Grandpa Andrick. He set his schedule around 5:30 news because Grandma had to have supper ready and done with so that he could watch the news. And I guess maybe that's where I got this, but he didn't have a 24-hour-a-day news station like I do. But one of the things, and I know I've shared this with some of you before, but there was a particular news magazine that I always used to read, and I look forward to getting it every week. Well, a few years ago, they started using language that I found unacceptable. Now, a lot of times, you know, they'd put the first letter and the last letter and blanks in between, but they started using the whole word. And I wrote to them, and I said, I don't want you to do this. This is wrong. And they didn't change. So I had to get rid of that. I had to choose to get rid of that particular thing that I really enjoyed for the most part. And I'm not trying to tell you that I'm a great example of anything necessarily, but we can choose to conform to what the world says is okay now, or we can choose to make a genuine change, to transform, renew our minds. And the only way that I know to do that is to be in His Word, to immerse yourself in His Word. If you ever feel God is being silent in your life, examine what you are doing to hear Him speak to you. And He will speak to you through His Word. Finally, it says to prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The perfect will of God is just simply this, that men would be saved. And anything that leads toward men and women and children being saved is in His will. So if what we're doing leads to that, we're in His will. If what we're doing leads people away from that, we are out of His will. Simple as that. God loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you in order that you might live eternally. But now He asks you to be the living sacrifice. He sacrificed for us, and now He's asking us to sacrifice for Him. He wants you to allow Him to transform your mind. He wants you to adopt His will and to seek His kingdom. Are you up for that task? Will you surrender your all to Him? Will you allow God to use this congregation, this church, to use you to reach the world? If we resist seeking God's perfect will, it doesn't affect just us. It affects the people who are looking to us for leadership. It affects people who might be observing us unknown to us. And there are people out there who are doing that very thing. So it doesn't affect just us. Most importantly today, if you're someone who is here this morning who has never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, never asked Him to forgive you of your sins, never confessed with your mouth that you are His, you're letting the world shape you instead of letting the Lord transform you. And He wants to use you to reach other people. He wants to use you as a living sacrifice to change, to transform this world. And I really pray that each one of us here today will be transformed, genuinely changed, that we will be living sacrifices, that we will be prepared to do our reasonable service, what God asks us to do in return for what He's blessed us with. There's just so many ways that God has shown His love and His concern for each and every one of us. And I pray that we would be willing to return to Him just a small portion of what it is that He asks us to do. Whatever it is He's asking you to do today, whether it's to give your life to Him in the first place or to give more of yourself to Him, to do your reasonable service, I just pray that we would make the decision today to do that. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You, first of all, for Your Word, for how Your Word builds us up and edifies us and trains us in the way that we should go. And I thank You for these two verses in particular today, that we would present our bodies, our lives, as a living sacrifice, that we would be prepared, Lord, to do Your reasonable service. I'm just so grateful, Lord, for the opportunities You give us. And I pray, God, that things that we do and say in our daily walk would point to you in all things. Help us, Lord, to be better servants. And I just thank you for the opportunity to be back here and to share your word once again. I just pray that lives might be genuinely changed as a result of your word being spoken. I just thank you for all these things, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.